Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Q2 FY24 earnings conference call of JTL Industries Limited, hosted by Nuvama Wealth Management. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode. There will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during this call, please signal an operator by pressing star and then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Ms. Sneha Talreja from Nuvama Wealth Management. Thank you, and over to you, ma'am.
On behalf of Nuvama Wealth Management, we welcome you all to the JTL Industries Q2 FY24 conference call. We are joined today by the senior management of JTL Industries, represented by Mr. Atul Garg, VP Finance, Mr. Pranav Singla, Whole-time Director, Mr. Dhruv Singla, Whole-time Director cum CFO. We will now start with the opening remarks for the management, followed by a Q&A. I would now like to hand over the call to Mr. Pranav Singla for his opening remarks. Over to you, Pranav.
Thanks, Sneha. Thanks, Nuvama. Thanks for hosting us for this quarterly earnings call. Good afternoon, everyone. Thank you for joining us today for this conference call. We welcome you all to our Q2 Financial Year 24 earnings call. Today, we have gathered to discuss the remarkable journey of JTL Industries Limited, our vision for the future, the key drivers that have propelled us to success. So, as you know, JTL is a growing company, and we have been in the industry since three decades. So, we have spread across four plants, namely two in Punjab, having a capacity of 1 lakh tons in Dehradun and 2 lakh tons of capacity in Mandideep. And we have 1 lakh tons of capacity in Mangaon plant, which is in Maharashtra, and another 1 lakh tons of capacity in our Raipur plant. Altogether, as a group, we have successfully done 6 lakh tons of capacity. If looking at our performance in this quarter for the first half of Financial 24, we recorded a healthy growth in sales volume by 66% in Q2 FY24 over Q2 FY23, and by 55% in H1 FY24 as compared to H1 FY23, making our highest quarterly and half-yearly sales volume. This was complemented by a 50% increase in the volume of value-added products from H1 FY23 to H1 FY24, keeping our share of value-added products to 40%, keeping us in line with the targets of reaching a sales mix of 50% by FY25. Our revenue grew by 37% to 5,000 million tons in Q2, and 38% to 100,000 million in H1 FY24. This was led by an increase in demand of our products. Our EBITDA grew by 16.8% to 374 million in Q2 FY24, and by 53% close to 730 million in H1 FY24. This was led by an increase in scale of operations. In Q2 FY24, we experienced a slight margin pressure due to volatile steel prices compared to the same period last year. But on a half-yearly basis, we successfully recorded a growth of EBITDA margins by 76 basis points, reaching to a sustainable 2%, showcasing our prowess and managerial expertise to manage risk. Improving our performance, we have significantly reduced our working capital cycle from 71 days in FY23 to 57 days in H1 FY24. We have also reduced our inventory holding period from a days of 45 days in FY23 to a significantly down number to 28 days in H1 FY24, allowing us to hedge the impact of fluctuations in raw material prices. Furthermore, we have maintained our EBITDA per ton of around 4,600 for H1 FY24, which remained in line with H1 FY23, despite the volatility in steel prices and declining realization per ton from 72,000 per ton in H1 FY23 to 64,000 rupees in H1 FY24. On the industry front, if you talk about, we expect the demand for structural steel to remain strong for the next few years, surging approximately over 10%, backed by robust infra projects such as warehousing, building of 100 airports, ensuring water standardization, and Jal Jeevan Mission, and affordable housing. Moreover, steel prices are expected to stabilize by the end of FY24, which will further improve our margins and profitability. Going forward, in order to capitalize the upcoming opportunities, we are aiming to reach a total manufacturing capacity of 1 million tons by adding 2 lakh tons of capacity in Mangaon plant in Maharashtra and 2 lakh tons of capacity in Raipur plant in Chhattisgarh. out of the total 4 lakh tons of capacity addition that is coming phase in a phase-wise manner in the next 2 years, 2 lakh tons would be deployed through means of DFT, which will facilitate us to produce various sizes of hollow section size without role change, increasing our efficiency, capacity utilization, and enter new geographies of the country. In order to fulfill the desired targets, we have raised to a total of ₹384 crores by allotment of fully convertible warrants. Post completion of expansion, we expect our operating cash flows to increase accordingly our operational process and reducing pressure on cash availability, short-term borrowings. Also, we aim to increase our share of international sales to 15% from our current levels of 9%, which will fetch us better margins and revenue growth.
Yeah, so I was saying going forward,
in order to capitalize the upcoming opportunities, we are aiming to reach a total manufacturing capacity of 1 million tons. And that would be done by 2 lakh tons of capacity in Mangaon plant in Maharashtra and 2 lakh tons of capacity in Raipur, which is in Chhattisgarh. Out of the total 4 lakh tons of capacity additions, 2 lakh tons would be deployed with DFT, which will facilitate us to produce various size of hollow section pipes without role change, increasing efficiency, capacity utilization, and enter new geographies. In order to fulfill the desired targets, we have raised to a total of 384 crores via allotment of fully convertible warrants. Post completion of expansion, we are expecting our cash flow levels to increase smoothly, our operational process, and reducing pressure on cash availability, short-term borrowings. Also, we aim to increase our share of international sales to around 15% from a current level of 9%, which will fetch us better margins and revenue growth as well. I'm handing over to Sneha for, and we're open to questions now.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Piyush Mehta from Caprizi. Please go ahead.
Hi. Good afternoon. Piyush here from Caprizi Investment. Just a couple of quick questions. So, really impressive volume growth that we...
Sorry to interrupt, but the line for you is not very clear. Request you to please use the handset while you're speaking and speak closer to the mic.
Am I more audible now?
Yes, you are audible.
Yeah. So the volume growth has been pretty impressive this quarter. What I was trying to understand is, given the volume trend that we've seen in the first half, what could be the volume growth that we could expect for the full year, financial year 24?
Thanks, Keith, for the question. So to come to that about the volume growth, so we surged over 50% year on year, if you talk about the volume growth. And there's a 50% increase in the volume of BAP product as well. So these are impressive numbers are coming by the demand of government push, infra projects, and also our capacity additions, which have happened all over in Raipur as well, in Maharashtra as well, in Mandi as well. And talking about future expansions and future additions, so we think that the volume growth should be 30% higher than what we have achieved in the second quarter and first quarter. So you should expect a 30% surge in the volume in the following H2.
Understood. So, you know, I read through the note that you released, and you mentioned that, you know, the share of value-added products have gone up. While our EBITDA per ton, which was, say, 6,100 rupees last year, YOY, has come down to closer to 4,500-4,600. So why is this, what is the volatility, this large volatility coming in from?
So there was a lot of volatility in the market last year, and the prices were taking a toll. So they were going extremely high and low in the previous year, and this year the prices have stabilized. So the numbers that you see last year, there was a few inventory gains that happened. But this year, right, you talk about the numbers, there's no inventory gain or loss that has happened to us or the company has faced. So these are the actual stabilized numbers and margins that you can look at. And also if you talk about H2, if you talk about H1 numbers for financial year 23, So we are well in line with the EBITDA per ton and the EBITDA margins. So in that case, we are well in line.
Okay. So with increased better volume growth in second half as well and, you know, better capacity utilization and the positive things that you mentioned, you believe the EBITDA per ton could continue to increase from here over the next two quarters?
So the EBITDA per ton is totally dependent on the share of VAP. And as we go ahead, we have already mentioned that we are bringing in DFT technology. So after bringing DFT technology, our VAP share is further going to increase. So as the VAP share is going to increase, every quarter on quarter, you should see an increase in EBITDA per ton.
And when we compare ourselves to, say, integrated players like Hariom or Sambhav or, you know, players like APL Apollo, where are we pricing ourselves? Like somewhere in between, at par, like how much discount to APL Apollo and what is the premium it could be to, say, someone like Hariom?
So, yeah, Piyush, for the pricing, as per se, we price ourselves. See, we are one of the key manufacturers of value-added products in India. So we have our own pricing for our value-added products, and we don't discount them according to other people's price list or pricing. As for the commercial-grade black pipes product, we have a key marquee dealer network where we deal into we've been dealing for last few decades. And moreover, the pricing is similar to most of the key players in the market. We don't compare ourselves with Hariom or Sambhav, and say, compared to APL Apollo, then we would have similar pricing in areas like Maharashtra, like Punjab, where we are able to supply key material to our key dealers. So the pricing is fairly similar. Majorly depends upon the availability of and the kind of material that we deliver into our plant.
Fair enough. So what would be our current dealer distribution strength, and, you know, what are the plans there? How do you grow this as you plan? As you said, you know, you mentioned in the note as well that you want to expand into other geographies as well. So how do you move ahead with this, please?
So we have around 800 dealers under us right now. And these 800 dealers are spread all across pan-India in such a way that we are majorly covering all the dealers present in India right now. So I think there would be around 1,000 or 1,100 dealers in India right now, and out of which 80% dealers are already tapped by us. And the orders are being repeated by them as well. So I'd like to say that we are majorly catering to all the dealers, and so we are growing the dealers as well, and the dealers are growing with us as well. So it's a kind of story that is building up as we expand our capacities.
Understood. But,
to add there, yes, when we grow ourselves going forward, if you look for penetration to the more into the southern market, there would be certain dealers that we will be onboarding if we are able to open new shops in the southern part of India. So that time we will be adding more dealers, but going forward, when we are adding technologies like DFT and more value-added products, certainly more dealers will get on board with us. If we are able to supply higher SKUs, higher number of SKUs with the same network that we are already doing.
Understood. And with, see, there are more players like, say, APL Apollo expanding in Raipur, plus, say, GPIL coming in. There are other local competitors. And, you know, with you yourself expanding, just wanted to sense in terms of the demand that is there. So if we are, say, there's a 10 lakh per month of demand that is happening, like, what is your sense in terms of that demand-supply gap? Is it that the more we produce, it will be easily consumed? And what is the current demand in terms of imports also? Is anything happening on that front, or largely this is whole domestic consumption and domestic demand supply only?
So what we see and what we read, it's around 1 million tons of demand every month, which has to be catered. And out of that, the market is growing at a rate of 10%, which was previously mentioned by CARE. And recently, only there was a report mentioned by CARE, which increased its demand from 10 to 12%. What we foresee, it's much more than that, to 15%. So that's the kind of demand at which, the rate at which the demand is growing every year. And
Is the industry capacity matching this, or there'll always be a shortfall?
There's always a shortfall right now. So that's the major reason places like us can easily triple up. As you mentioned, to gain a capacity of 1 million tons by FY25. Right. These are the major growth drivers that encourage us to increase capacities and expand in all geographies.
Okay. And when you mentioned we hedge some part of our... So what is the percentage hedge that we do? And what are the usual costs associated with it?
I didn't get. Can you please repeat?
You had mentioned about something about the hedging some piece of our business. So wanted to know the cost associated with that.
We're not hedging any part of our business. I think there's some confusion in that.
Okay, fair enough. That was my last question. Thank you so much for answering everything.
Thank you.
The next question is from the line of CA Garvit Goyal from Invest Analytics. Please go ahead.
Hello, am I audible?
Yes, you're audible.
Good afternoon, everyone. First question is on the EBITDA pattern, like continuing with the earlier participant only. I want to understand what exactly drives your EBITDA pattern. If I compare H1 FY24 with full year FY23, steel prices are down by 5%. But at the same time, our value added proportion has increased to 37-38%. So my point is, why our average EBITDA per ton for H1 is down by 14% as compared to FY23, while you people were guiding for 5300-5400 kind of EBITDA per ton. And to the earlier participant, you also mentioned in FY23 there was some inventory gain. So if you are aware of those inventory gains, then why you guided for these 5300-5500 kind of EBITDA per ton for FY24?
Yes, thanks, Garvit. Thanks for your question. Let me just clear your doubts. So first of all, if you talk about our VEP products, so last year we did a volume of around 40,000 tons in quarter two, FY23. And this year we've done a volume of around 82,000 tons in quarter two, FY24. And if you talk about the VAP product this quarter, it is around a ratio of 38% totaling to a quantity of 28,200 metric ton. And if you talk about a quantity of last year, that's around 24,000. So although the VAP production has increased, but the percentage of VAP was a little higher last year, but that's why the margin is a little higher as compared. As the company is growing in a phased manner, so we have to increase the black box capacity simultaneously every quarter. And after that, the galvanizing of the galvanizing class is being set up as well. And along with that, DFT is coming up as well. So a major proportion of the EBITDA per ton was driven by the gain in inventory. And along with that, there was another reason to explain is 50% share of VAP, which was in quarter two last year, which has come to 40% this quarter. In quantity-wise, it has increased by 4,000 tons. So these are the explanations which clear out the maths for the beta per ton.
So
if you talk about the average inflation in quarter two last year, it was close to 70,000 rupees, but it has dipped significantly by 10% to 62,000 in this quarter. So that's the kind of realization that has fell down as well.
That thing I agree, but what kind of sustainable beta per ton now from here going forward?
So as we mentioned that we have industry-leading EBITDA per ton already in previous quarter as well and going forward as well, we think we should be in line to be industry-leading EBITDA margins. And it will be safe to say that this year we should be working at EBITDA margins of 5,000 plus 5,000, around 5,000 range.
So in H1, it is approximately 4,600 and you are saying on full year basis, it will be 5,000. So that means you must have to cross 5,000 mark in H2, right?
Yes, you are correct. We are guiding for those numbers like we previously guide. All these guidances are on the basis of our previous performance and the market pricing thereon. See, we are, you need to understand, we are only converters of steel. We are not manufacturers of steel. It's a semi-engineering industry which supplies material to further engineering industries for further processes. So we have a fixed amount of conversion that is available which slightly dips when the market is not performing well and slightly improves when the market is performing well in terms of demand and supply. So we have to live with all those things, and the guidances that we provide are between a beta of a value-added product of value-added kitty of about 45% to 50%. The guidance is around 4,800 rupees to 5,300 rupees of EBITDA per ton. So these are guiding numbers. We always strive to give better numbers, but we also have to live in the market and see where the market is taking us. All the practices that we do are based to achieve the higher part of it. But yes, then again, if the market performance is a little stringent, then we have to live with it.
Okay, that's fine. And on industry level, how do you see demand outlook for second half? Is there any fear of slowdown expected in terms of execution due to elections getting announced in different states, due to the restrictions imposed by the Election Commission on public spending? So is there any fear?
We don't really see any demand slowdown right now in the second phase as well. We, on the contrary, believe that the demand is going to pick up, because historically speaking, the first two quarters of our EW pipe industry are always slower than the second two quarters. Reason being, the new tenders have to be floated. The new projects have to be done in the first quarter. They take a little bit of time. Then the monsoon hits, no work can be done in that particular point of time. So right now, the festive season is arriving. We anticipate that the third and the fourth quarter are going to be better, and we will be able to achieve our next H2 with an all-time high of levels and achieve our volume expansion, as I did earlier, between 3.2 lakh tons to 3.5 lakh tons.
Actually, to the previous participant, you mentioned in H2, volumes will be higher by 30% as compared to H1. So going by that, I think you should do somewhere around 370,000 kind of volumes for full year, right?
So again, those are guided numbers. We mentioned that 30% will be increased for the entire year, not from the H1 numbers.
Okay.
From the entire year. Last year we did about 2,40,000 tons of material in volume, and this year with a year-on-year growth of about 30% to 35%, we are anticipating between 320 to 350. I'll clarify this again. That 330 to 350 is the number that we are targeting. Of course, we will be try to achieve a higher number if possible.
Wonderful, sir. Thank you very much, and all the best for the future.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Aditya Velekar from Axis Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity. So thanks, and congrats to the team for good growth in the sales volume. So just one question, actually a couple of questions. So one is on the VAP share. So there is a drop in the VAP share. So is it due to any market creation efforts from our side, which we have to do to increase this VAP share in the coming quarters, or it will naturally increase as we install the DFP, or some seasonality factor is also there in this quarter, because of that the VAP share has come down?
Thanks, Ditya, for the question. To answer your query, so basically this quarter, only 2,000 tons of, there's a shortage of 2,000 tons of VAP share as compared to first quarter. And this small dip has come because the orders that we had in this quarter were particularly of smaller sizes. Although they command a better margin, the smaller sizes, but as you know, they are light in weight, the metric ton volume is not fetched from that particular segment. So for that reason, although the beta margins were stable as first quarter, even after having a dip in percentage-wise of VAP sales. Going forward, as I mentioned again before as well, that we'll be bringing DFT by end of third quarter or beginning of fourth quarter. So we should be on set to increase the VAP share, as mentioned, to 40% by year end. and further down to increase it by 50% by FY25 end.
Okay, understood. And second part is there is some slight increase in the short-term borrowings. If we compare with the fiscal 23, short-term borrowings have slightly gone up. I guess is this due to the working capital debt because of the higher sales volume which we did, or is there anything else here?
Yes, it's totally in line with the increase in working capital limit. So there's a slight increase and it's just increasing the working capital. Otherwise, there's no long-term debt the company has increased or has plans to increase.
Understood. One last thing. So any, Pranav, anything on the long-term growth outlook which you guys are thinking from 1 million ton to 2 million ton for post our 1 million ton expansion? Any initial thoughts you have?
So we are in pipeline and the management is constantly making endeavors every day to lay out the plan. So there should be a formal announcement sooner or later, but we shall keep you updated with that same as and when it arises. It's a very organic growth that we're planning to do, and we have ample land bank in Mangaon. We have 110 plus acres of land bank, out of which only 15-20% is covered right now. So ample land bank of expansion in our Mangaon itself. Along with that, in Raipur as well, we have around 35 acres of land bank, out of which only 50% is covered right now. So we have a lot of scope for expansion in the area already we have. So it should be organic expansion which should be happening, but everybody shall be related to our expansion as the management takes a decision closer to the date.
Yeah, so from demand perspective, you don't foresee any gap, right? From that angle of equation, with the demand side, as you said previously in the call, that demand looks falling short of demand is exceeding supply. So if you look from that perspective, there is no concern. So our only concern is we have to ramp up the capacities, right?
Yes, we have to ramp up the capacities organically. We don't see any lag in demand going forward. We've seen that there have been new usages of the EIW pipe, direct replacement of wood. New areas of usages coming each and every day. So all these usages and end products of EIW steel make it a more volatile usage product, like earlier, similar to wood being used earlier. So, but without the drawback of disposable at the end of its life. So all these things make us very bullish on the demand of steel, especially in India, where a lot of work still has to be done. And by the initiative of the Honorable Prime Minister, we have to become a developed economy by the end of 2047. So all these initiatives will only be available by the building material, by infrastructure, which we are directly related to. And would obviously entail that higher demand of steel needs to come up. We are only a very small chain of block in the entire set of things as when talking about the EAW segment. We see expansion happening all over in from iron ore to HR coil expansions from each of the leading companies. So all these expansions are based out of the growth story of India alone.
Yeah, got it. Thanks for the insight and all the best.
Thank you. Thank you, Ritya.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Bhavin Pandey from Athena Research. Please go ahead.
Hey, am I audible?
Yes, you're audible, sir. Please proceed.
Yeah. So, hey, hi, Pranav. I know you shed some light on the EBITDA pattern being stable Q&Q, but I'm still confused around why our growth in revenue is at close to 37% as compared to 50% growth in volume, even if we attribute around 7-8% decline in revenue per ton. So if you could just throw some light around it.
So it's the growth in volumes and revenue are directly related to the realization per ton. So in H1 last year, our revenue per ton was realization per ton was about 71,000 rupees. In the H1 of current year, it's 63,300 rupees. So that is the reason even after growth in volumes, the revenue has not fared in the same manner of 50% sales volume growth, 56% sales volume growth. So that is, as I said earlier, we are only converters of steel. We have to live with the prices that are present in the market at a particular point of time.
The relevance should be seen in the numbers of profit and the beta that has been added compared to the numbers of volume that we've done. I'd say that was the correct measure to see the growth, because in our business, the realization is totally dependent on HRC prices. So if they go up and down, it should not matter, really matter. That top line should not matter. The margin profile that we keep, that's something that we've been maintaining and we aim to maintain as well in a highly volatile market. So that's the kind of business that we're working at. We really don't see what the realization is going up and down.
Okay. Yeah, obviously, I mean, EBITDA margin and profits have shown an uptick. So secondly, are we working on any cost initiatives to bring our costs down so sort of we are immune to movement in commodity prices?
I don't get your question. Can you please come back again?
Yeah, sorry. Are we looking sort of towards working on cost initiatives where there's some variable which is in control and we are sort of immune to HRC prices moving up and down? Are we working on some cost-saving initiatives or some advancement that we are doing?
Yeah, there is no fundamental of saving ourselves from the fluctuation of HR coils. The benefit of being a processor is that when the prices are going up, we are able to add on capacity of stocking and take certain advantages for production at that particular point of time. And at the same time, when the prices are going down, we are able to make ourselves leaner and become more cost effective. So that is again seen in our inventory days being going down from 45 days to 28 days in H1 this year, and working capital days going down to 57 days. So these things are available as a processor of steel to us. But there is no fundamental in hedging of HR coil prices that is available to us at this particular point of time. We can only hedge ourselves by stocking up or destocking ourselves.
That's pretty clear. But I was wondering if there's anything that we are doing to enhance efficiency of our production, sort of bringing employee costs down?
Yes. Then we are always enhancing ourselves to increase productivity in our plants by debottlenecking, bringing in greener processes cleaner processes in the plant, and debottlenecking of production processes, bringing in economies of scale. All these, we are also having processes of lean manufacturing being implemented. We are introducing DFT in the near future to decrease the time of role change. So all these things are now introduced so that we are able to better utilize our machinery and better productivity in that sense.
Okay, wonderful. And just one brief perspective on market share, and if there's any incentive which we would be getting out of the expansion in Raipur, along with it, just breakup of CAPEX that has been done and whatever is due, and that should be from my side.
So if you talk about the market share, we hold around 8% to 9% market share in the industry right now. And after the onset of our Raipur and our Mangaon plant, at which we are adding 2 lakh tons of capacity each, so we should have a market share close to 18 to 19%. It should be a double up in the market share we have. So that's the kind of growth that we're targeting right now.
Okay. And how has the market share moved as compared to previous time?
From a market share of around 3%, what we had in 2019, we've gained momentum and reached 9%. So 3x already in 4 years. So we should anticipate similar growth in the coming future as well.
Okay. And sorry, that thing on, so is there any incentive that we are getting for putting up the facility in Raipur, because EPL had recently announced the same thing?
Yes, so we are in talks, but it'll be very wrong for me to say anything conclusive right now. Any incentive that would be granted to the company shall be announced publicly online as well.
Okay. And just, you know, a brief breakup on KPIs that has been spent and whatever is due, and then maybe we can just move on to the next participant.
So we've announced the CapEx in which around 360 crores of CapEx is being done, in which 2 lakh tons of DSP and along with that 2 lakh tons of traditional machinery that we already have right now, the 6 inches is would be implemented. And out of that, around 70 crores has been already put this year, and the rest amount is being put in a phased manner in it will be put in the phased manner in the coming year and the next year as well.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Andri Sheth from Array Investments. Please go ahead.
Hello.
You are audible. You can proceed with
your
question.
Yes. Congratulations on the great numbers. Actually, my questions have already been answered. So thank you.
Thank you, ma'am. Thank you.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Yash Suntalia from Buoyant Capital. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, everyone, and congratulations for a good set of numbers. So I have a couple of questions. So first, the DFT plant we are coming
up. Sorry to interrupt, but you do have an echo that is coming through on your line.
It is clear now?
Slightly better, sir.
Yeah, so my question was, in your opening remarks, you...
Yes, you are not audible. Please move to an area with a better network connection.
Hello.
Go ahead.
So, the DFT plant we are coming up with, you said the capacity utilization will be higher. Can we quantify that number?
The capacity utilization that we right now working at is around 63% if you talk about the year ending, previous year. And if you talk about the capacity utilization in DFT, so a DFT in DFT, the role change is very less. So the utilization in DFT, because you don't have right now what from what we read and what we anticipate, the average utilization on DFT is around 75-80%. So as we go down and after we onset the DFT, so average realization should bump up by 7% to around 70% mark. So that's the safe figure for us to give you right now.
Yes, does that answer your question?
Yes. Hello.
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Saket Kapoor from Kapoor & Company. Please go ahead.
Namaskar, sir.
Namaskar. Ji.
Yeah. Ji. Thank you for this opportunity. Sir, in your presentation, you did mention about our pipes also going through the Jal Jeevan mission. So if you could give further breakup, what percentage of our sales are skewed towards the government projects?
So out of the total production that we have, around 24% was towards government projects, including Jal Jeevan mission as well.
Okay. And these are all through the EPC contractor. We are supplying to the EPC players.
No, these supplies are directly to the government. EPC players, we do not count them into government supply. We count them into OEMs and EPC players.
So basically, there are 4 modes of sales which we broadly classify products into, namely being the dealer network, government sector, EPC players, and exports. So as I mentioned to you, out of the entire kitty, around 24% would be towards the government sector.
Okay. And sir, on the order booking front, if you could throw some more light, what percentage of your sales that are going to be executed for H2 will be skewed towards this Jal Jeevan mission project?
So, as I mentioned, we aim to maintain the particular percentage of the same government proportionate. So, we don't want to increase our production towards government anymore because it's only a Derabasi plant which is catering to government, the plant in Punjab. Our plants are catering to EPC players and export market as well. So we structured in such a way that only one plant would be supplying to government, and which is already happening.
Okay. And we are also not putting at any further capacity at the Punjab unit. Because of it,
Beravasi unit, we are not doing any capacitation for now.
Okay. And we don't have any land bank over there, so the major capex which is happening is in Mangaon and Raipur, which is more cost effective for us as well, and along with that, better for our exports as well.
Sir, when we look at this ERW segment, it generally works out to be a more commoditized part, as you mentioned yourself, that we are a pure converter. So going with now with this DFT technology coming into play, what kind of incremental EBITDA can we look for going ahead in the times to come? And from the DFT, what portion of the total 6 lakh capacity would be attributable? I think the 2 lakh you mentioned. That is correct.
6 lakh capacity, we are already placed at 6 lakh tons of capacity. From going to 6 lakh tons of capacity to 10 lakh tons of capacity, we are adding 2 lakh tons of DFT technology. DFT technology is essentially a value-added product from its inception. So that will help us to achieve a target of 50% of value-added product from the entire kitty of products that we serve to the entire market. So there will be an incremental increase in EBITDA per ton, but our guideline for EBITDA per ton will remain from 5,800 rupees per ton to 5,300 rupees per ton at the current situation. We have to look at the expansion in DFT segment and also the utilization of DFT at various places to come back to you with a better number as and when it is implemented. So and with the current situation, it will be improving with the increase in value-added product, but yes, remaining in the bandwidth of 5,300 to 5,400 rupees.
Sir, as of now, with the commissioning of the new facility, I think at Mangaon, with 6 lakh capacity, what proportion is towards the DFT technology?
Right now, we don't have any DFT technology. We are bringing in the DFT technology now. Will be operational from the next financial year.
Okay. Okay. Because then the incremental capex that we are emphasizing now, that when it culminates, then only it will start contributing.
Yes, sir. Absolutely.
Sir, out of this, the capex I think so outlined is 320 crore for this ramp up from 6 to 1 million.
Yes, about 320.
Okay, and out of that, 70 has been increased to the promoter contribution. 250 is pending.
Yeah, close to 70 has been in the pipeline in the current year.
So we have already put up, this year we have commercialized fresh 2 lakh capacity out of, I think so that at 186 has been commissioned and 14 is pending. So what has been the contribution from the new 186,000 tons for H1 as a whole?
So we've been able to increase our volume by 56%.
So the major contribution has been from this 186,000 new facility only.
It's a very phase-wise expansion that has happened, and the production flows in from all four plants. So all four plants are being utilized equally and to their max capacity till what we can utilize them. And you can see the numbers as well. It's around 55% growth year on year. So that's totally in line with the capacity expansion that we've done.
Correct, sir. But as you mentioned very correctly, that for our segment of ERW, the capacity utilization level is a misnomer if we take, and it is the EBITDA per ton that is more correct, because if we take our capacity utilization levels, what is currently our capacity utilization levels with the nameplate at 6 lakh for the first half?
So it's around 60%. 60% would be the ideal utilization for our company right now.
Okay, and what should we be closing with H2? How will this shape up for H2?
So close to 65% is what we can aim to reach at
for the full year net.
Okay. Sir, very short point is that when we are operating in this 62-65% band, we are putting up further facilities with further capex. So how do that math work? It is only to for this DFT to come into play. That is the sole reason. Otherwise, we have sufficient capacity to cater from the existing facility itself.
Yeah. I'll explain you about this. So in our industry, in our EIW segment, so if I have one machinery, the same machinery would be running a size of 1/2 inches and the same machinery would be running a size of 3 inches. To cater the demand of every customer, dealer, state government, every kind of sector, every customer has a demand of kitty of products. And to serve that, I can't be running one particular size throughout the year. If I run one size throughout the year, I can probably exceed the capacity utilization of 100% as well. But okay, it's not how we structured. So if you're making 1/2 inches pipe, which is lighter in weight, but it's fetching me more beta per ton, I'll be making that as well. And to serve the same customer with the 3 inches pipe, which would be the same demand in his order, I have to make that product as well, which although demands a lower beta per ton, but has to be served because I aim to be a one-stop solution for every size. So that's why I'm increasing the size range further down as well. So in DFT, what happens? The roll change time from 1/2 inches to 3 inches. And this also in bigger sizes because DFT would cater bigger sizes. The roll change time in DFT is much less than what we already see in our existing machineries. So that's the reason the bump in capacity utilization would happen.
Correct, sir. And sir, when we look at this value added... Okay, sir, I'll join the queue. Yeah, yeah, please.
Ladies and gentlemen, we request you to please restrict your questions to 2 per participant. The next question is from the line of Yash from Stallion Asset. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. Am I audible?
Yes, yes, you're audible.
Thanks. So my question, I have 2 questions. First, on the value-added products. So, you know, I just wanted to understand the kind of SKUs that you have over there. So if I, you know, kind of compare with the market leader, so one of the SKUs that they have is a color-coated structural steel tube. So, you know, do you also have some of the SKUs, like those kind of the products that the market leader has? That's my first question. And second question would be, what would be your freight cost per ton on average this quarter?
Thanks, Kiyash, for your question. So in our kitty of VAP, the major 2 products that we cater is the galvanized side and solar structures. So these are 2 major products that we cater in our VAP kitty. We also have a product of road crash barriers in our VAP, but we're not actively doing that, so I would rather than not count in our VAP product. And what was the second question about freight?
So for the freight cost, our majority of our products that we sell are ex works basis. Essentially, the freight outward freight cost is not more than if compounded altogether will not be more than 300-400 rupees per ton, because we are majorly supplying since we are located in four locations in 3 states, Punjab, Raipur, and Maharashtra. So we are supplying majorly to the localities there are close to us. But since we are also supplying Pan India, majority of the material that goes to the longer distances are all on ex-works basis.
Sorry, I didn't get the last part. Could you repeat?
That is all on ex-works basis. So we don't have any freight cost in our net realization that we have mentioned.
Okay, got it. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Raj from Arja Partners. Please go ahead.
Hello.
You are
audible. Hello. Hello.
Yeah, you're audible. You're audible.
Hi, Raj. You're audible.
Achha. So my first point is the rate per ton for HY1 FY24 is around 63,722, right? So looking at whole of FY24, do you think the sales per ton will be in the similar range?
I didn't get your question. If you can come back again.
Your sales per ton for half year one FY24 till now is 63,722, right?
So it's around the mark of, I get your question. So Raj, to answer your question, so the revenue per ton right now to be exact is 63,316.
Okay,
and
yeah.
going down for the line,
yeah.
We anticipate there's some price increase happening at the beginning of this month. And if that shall stay continue in the near future H2, so it shall be going up. Otherwise, it's very hard for us to comment on this right now, whether the realization should be going up or no. Seeing the trend, it should go higher because the festive season is coming. But it's very hard to give you an exact number at what shall we be closing at.
All right. Understood. And regarding your expansion of 4 lakh tons, right? So it would come on stream by FY25?
So everything shall be set up by end of FY25, including 2 lakh tons would be set up this year itself, and 2 lakh tons would be set up next year, and that's how we structured.
The first sale, it will start from FY25, right?
For the next 2 lakh tons, the sale shall start in FY25. First quarter itself, and the next 2 lakh tons, which would be implemented by FY25 event, the same shall be starting next year in the first quarter.
Okay. And in this expanded part, sales per ton and EBITDA per ton, both will be comparatively higher, right?
The sales, the revenue per ton, again, would be a very hard mark for me to comment on right now. Because it's totally dependent on HRC prices, how they fluctuate and go down in the coming 2 years. But I think the trend, they should be rising. And EBITDA per ton should be increasing as the share of VAP is increasing as well.
All right, understood. Okay, thank you. Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of CA Garvit Goyal from Invest Analytics. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for the opportunity. My question is already answered.
Thanks.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, due to time constraints, we will now move to the closing. I would now like to hand the conference over to the management for closing remarks. Over to you, sir.
Thanks. Thanks, everybody, for taking out your time for this call. As we stand on the threshold of yet another promising year, I would like to express my sincere appreciation to all our shareholders, employees, customers, and partners. Your trust and dedication have been instrumental in our journey thus far, and we are excited to embark on the road ahead together. Thank you, everybody. Thanks for the call.
Thank you. On behalf of Nuvama Wealth Management, that concludes this conference. Thank you all for joining us. You may now disconnect your lines.